Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. I was told the other day that I can't say the word financial freedom. Isn't that funny? Somebody said that, oh man, you can't promise financial freedom. I'm not promising financial freedom. I'm sharing and explaining financial freedom to you, what it is. The bottom line is that we're here to help you get a grasp on how to improve your life. Financial freedom is an aspect of your life. But like my show and the name of my company and everything else says, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. It's so important for you to understand that although money solves many, 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 many problems, it does not completely have the power to change your life. The most important power to change your life is your belief system, that which you grew up with. And today I want to talk about that. I want to talk about it for the whole show. So if you don't want to hear about where the real success in life comes from, this probably isn't the show for you. If you do want to hear where true success comes from, then I would suggest you hang out for the whole show because I've got a lot of stuff for you here that I think will really bring the light to the topic, if that were to say. And so let's start with this. In life, I think you follow people. You are inspired to follow somebody in your life. Unfortunately, you could be inspired by someone who's terrible. My mother was a drug addict and alcoholic. She laid on the couch all day long, smoked cigarettes, drank alcohol, took pills, complained of being, sick with every kind of sickness she could come up with so she didn't have to take responsibility in life. She was whatever they call a hypochondriac or however you say it. And I could have followed that. I could have became that. My sister did. And so her life that she lived very similar to my mother's life of, pretty much dependence on other people, complaining, misery, believing the world was unfair. And bottom line, pretty much a miserable life. I mean, if you ask them, they'd say, no, I lived a good life. They're just lying to themselves. Most of the stuff that you hear from people like that, and I'm not just picking on my sister and mom, but everybody out there that's like that who just pick the life of negativity, they just pick it. Now, somebody gave them the idea this is the way to react to life. I see it now in the political parties. The Democrats react to everything from the world isn't fair. Everything is Trump. No matter what it is, everything they do is negative. I've not seen anything like this. I'm a kind of a guy in the center. I'm not really a libertarian even because I don't want to belong to any group, and any group that would have me, I wouldn't belong to the group simply because I don't want to be pigeonholed. But to sit from the outside and watch the Republicans and the Democrats is an amazing thing over the last 2 years because the Democrats totally imploded because they believe that they're all victims. Every single one of them believe they're a victim. They're a victim of their race. They're a victim of their color. They're a victim of their nationality. They're a victim of their political beliefs. They're a victim of their sexuality. What are they not a victim of? They're a victim of other people picking on them. They're a victim of other people taking all the advantages away from them. And really what they're really saying is that I really don't want to go out there and compete. It all comes down to I don't want to go out in the world and compete. I don't want to compete for love. I don't want to compete for success. I don't want to compete for fitness. I don't want to compete for anything. I just want to sit here and be a victim. And in that, I'm expecting you to fall into the societal norm of taking care of me. Wow. How do you overcome that? Well, the answer is you don't. Those people will never be anything more than victims. They'll never be successful in anything, any way, shape, or form. Their life is doomed. Now, who stuck them in that mode? Don't know. It's not my place to say in this show. What I'm saying, though, is when you meet these people, you know them. I mean, it doesn't take very long at all before you can see right through the fact that there's no way they could be good at or successful at anything they do. They're just got the wrong point of view in life. So when you look at yourself and say, well, I'm not on that level. I'm not that negative, right? Then you know you have a head start. You have an advantage to start with. And then you look around and go, okay, well, who did motivate me in life? And what is really my inspiration, who to be? And I've got a great story for this because as I was growing up, I believed in my dad. My dad was the strong one. My mother was the alcoholic, the drug addict, and the this and that. My dad got up and went to work every day. He was strong. He would come home, have his couple drinks to relax, eat dinner, smoke cigarettes, and do whatever he did to relax. Get up the next day and do it all over again. He wasn't healthy. You know, I'm not saying he was healthy. I'm not saying he was physically fit. I was just saying he was strong in that his willpower kept him getting up and doing the same thing every single day. So I saw that. And my dad's outcome was that he worked his entire life right up to the day he died. That was his outcome because he saw that as the way. That's what was right to do. And when my dad died, I did a special radio show called Cats in the Cradle. And when it really went over, it went over how my dad never really had time to raise a kid, me. He never really had time to do anything but to go to work, come home, have his drinks, have his cigarettes, go to bed, get up and do it again. So what did I learn from my dad? My dad was very conservative, and he was constantly preaching to me that if it sounds too good to be true, it is. Don't take risks. You know, there's no need to take massive risks in life. Take calculated risks, small, safe little steps in life. And so you can get the picture. He's a very conservative guy, obviously a Republican coming from that point of view. Very conservative. But what I loved hearing him talk about more than anything else was his brother, my uncle. He despised and loved to death his brother. He loved to death his brother because it was his brother. They fought all the time because they were brothers. But he despised that his brother was willing to take risks. This is my uncle. And he used to tell me stories about how crazy my uncle was, how he had gone out and started a bowling alley, how he'd gone out and started a bar, how he'd gone out and started a restaurant. And my uncle was a college professor. Doesn't seem like they really go together, right? Being an education person. Definitely a Democrat. Everybody on my family side was a Democrat other than my dad. And, he was definitely a liberal to the max. But boy, he had that entrepreneurial spirit that even my conservative dad didn't have, which is really weird because usually entrepreneurialism is on the other side. But he had it. He had this bug, this burr. He wanted to. Now, he'd always been an athlete. He'd always been a standout student. He'd always been the guy that wanted to be seen and known. Friendly as heck. And never met an enemy kind of guy. Great guy. None of which my dad was. My dad was very timid, very reserved. Now, if you got him to talk to somebody, my dad could talk to anybody. So he wasn't really afraid, just like me. I'm not really an outgoing person, but get me to talk to somebody, I can talk to anybody. And as a young kid, you see your dad struggling, going through these pains and everything, right? And not getting anywhere, not being successful other than just had a job. I mean, he's always had a job. He was a CPA, he was a CFO of a company. I mean, you know, everybody needs the CFO, but he just never went out and did anything on his own. Never became rich, never became powerful. Just lived life. You know, he just took life as it came to him. There was no aggressiveness. So whatever good that is and bad that is, you know, I love my dad. And when he left, I did the show about the Cats in the Cradle, about how he had no time. And what's interesting is I don't know how much time my uncle had when he was doing all this crazy stuff and when he was younger and developing all these businesses and whatever. But when it came time that my dad passed away, and so I reconnected with my uncle, really for the first time I connected with my uncle, he kind of took me under his wing. And all of a sudden I started getting the kind of fathering and mentoring that a boy needs. Unfortunately, I got it at age 45 or 50 years of age, you know. He's 20 years older than me, so maybe he's 18 years older than me, I think, something like that. My dad was 20 years older. He was younger than my dad. But I got the kind of male connection and bonding that was necessary as a young guy to feel like you're going somewhere in life. And we would talk about, you know, family love and family success and taking care of your kids and spending time with them and all this kind of stuff. Not to mention success in business. We really never talked about success in business. We talked about his businesses. I was curious about them. He's always supported my businesses, where my dad never once saw me at a football game, never once saw me at a powerlifting meet, an Olympic lifting meet, or a bodybuilding meet. My dad came one time to one of my seminars in my entire life. I mean, I do 1,000 seminars. He's done come to one of them. It was just a small one with just a few people in a room. He came to my house and stayed for one night and left and was miserable being there, by the way. He was the kind of guy that had to be in his own house, you know, live in his own world, do things his own way, or he just wasn't comfortable. So, you know, now with my uncle passing, it's funny because a couple years ago, 2 years ago, many of you met him. Because he was so influential in my life, I brought him to one of the expos, and he got up and talked at the expo, and it was just amazing. Even at 80-some, 82 years, 84 years of age, I guess he was just a character. I mean, he was just alive and enthusiastic and motivational. And I bring all this up because I love him, and I want to, you know, praise him and so forth now that he's passed. But more, I'm bringing it up for you guys. I want you to understand, you need an inspiration in life that will get you out there doing something. And I don't like motivation myself. Motivation never worked. That's why I've never been good on team sports. It's because they're telling you, do this, do that, do this, do that. And I'd rather work out by myself and tell myself I'm going to kill myself. Because then I give myself credit for working that hard. And then there's 50 guys on the team or 30 guys or 20 guys on the team, and you know, you're never going to be the quarterback because there's, in our society, the way they pick those people is a very socially inept approach to life, to where they pick the most likable, or not most likable, the people that stand out the most. I can't even really give it. I've never thought about it long enough to come up with a really good word for it, but they're popular. There we go. It's a popularity thing. Who is the most popular would get almost all the accolades in life, as opposed to when you do stuff on your own, right, then you don't. In fact, the one thing I had to do was start a place where the most popular people didn't get all the accolades, where everybody at Lifestyles enjoys popularity, enjoys knowledge, enjoys friendships. That's probably one of the hardest things to do in a business, to keep it neutral and not let the egomaniacs take over. And boy, I'll tell you, they've tried. I mean, we've had some, you know, egomaniacs at Lifestyles, and, you know, they eventually go away because we shun that type of personality. You know, not successful people. Love people way more successful than me. I love people way more aggressive than me because I'm not that aggressive. It's the people that are just arrogant and then eventually become mean or destructive with that arrogance that eventually want to go away, because that just doesn't work in the culture that we've developed here at Lifestyles. So as we sit here, I wanted to talk about something today about what financial freedom really means to me. I want to go down here and I want to do this Cats in the Cradle thing again. I've got the lyrics. For those of you who don't know how the music goes, it's Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, that kind of thing, that song, right? Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon. By the way, I can't sing, and you know that. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. We'll get together then. You know we'll get together then. So what is the bottom line? The father's always busy. He's never around. So I'm going to read this to you. He says, my boy arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And think of how many kids grow up with parents to look at. I mean, you look at people in poverty, and you look at single-parent families. Who do these kids have to look up to? Where's their inspiration? How do they ever become successful? I have no idea. Because you're like a little sponge, right? You're just sucking up everything you see around you. No wonder that people who live in poverty end up going to jail. You know, they hang out. They see the tough guys and the gangbangers. Those are the people that they aspire to be because those are the successful people around them. And to really think about just the middle class, and that's who we're working with here today. You guys out there that are great guys, you got jobs, you get up and go to work every day, you put money in your 401k, you pay your mortgage payment, etc. But you have no life. That's what we want to talk about when you come back. How do you get a life in all that? Take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing who in your life was a major inspiration behind who you are today. Are you positive? Are you negative? Are you aggressive? Are you passive? You know, who set your mind? Who created your mindset? And I'm also digging in there and celebrating my uncle's passing. You say, well, that's, you don't celebrate passing. No, I'm celebrating the man, not the passing. And I'm also talking about my dad, who, brother to my uncle, was completely opposite. So I had this incredible opportunity to see two different personalities that I could choose from. And I try to choose the ones from the ideas from my dad that made sense, that I saw were good ideas. And I try to choose some from my uncle, who I thought were great ideas. But I want to go back to this Cats in the Cradle thing now, and I want to talk about why financial freedom is so important. I had my daughter when I was I was 34 years old when I retired. I had my daughter when I was 35 or 36. So I was already retired. Couldn't get along with my wife because I married my mother. And so she was a drug addict, and she was an alcoholic, and she was problematic. And I saw it, and it didn't take long, a year or so, and I could see that, boy, I'd made a mistake. I had married my mother. And so I wasn't going to live that life. I already determined that when I was young. I wasn't going to live with my mother. When my parents divorced, I went with my dad to get away from my mother. And I wasn't going to live with another one. So I divorced her right away. And what happened was very interesting. She said it was the best thing that happened to me and my daughter's experience, because at that point, I had to take care of my daughter. I got her on certain days of the week. And I got her on weekends, and I got her on certain holidays. And what that did was, that made me actually spend time with her. Now, fortunately for me, unlike a lot of guys, I had the time to spend with her. And so I remember taking her out and walking her, taking her to the park. I remember buying her a little Barbie car and driving around her little Barbie car. I remember taking her to the mall and playing all the different toys and stuff you have there. I don't know what you call them, the little area where you can play on all the different rides. I remember showing her off everywhere. She looked like a little Shirley Temple. And I remember taking her in the bathroom and changing her diaper, thinking, oh, my gosh, how proud I am that I get to go into a bathroom, not my wife, but me, and change my daughter's diaper and take care of her and knew how to do it and raise her and created that intimacy with her. I don't think that intimacy was ever lost. I mean, we've gone through ups and downs in our life, both her and I. And we always come back to that, hey, Daddy raised me when I was little. Now, she stayed with her mother most of the time, don't get me wrong. But she didn't like staying with her mother. She liked staying with me. And we built a bond, right? So I'm going to read this thing from you here and talk to you. First of all, did you have time with your kid when they were young? Or were you just, usually people are in the busiest part of their lives when their kids are young. I know that we have a daughter and she's married. Well, actually, she's not married, but they live together and they have a kid. And, you know, they try to be around as much as mother. But I actually took the daughter, and this is another thing about being wealthy, and put her in a job where she stays home all day long. I pay her to stay home and take care of the babies. Now, I laughingly say I pay her to stay home and take care of the baby. She's got some quote-unquote job as back office management of, you know, the apartment she works for. You can see right through that. You know, the bottom line is she's there taking care of the grandkids, and you have two of them now, and she wants four of them, and they're working it out. But he's got some job he has to go away to, and he's always struggling. He quit one job to be able to get more time. Took another job now, but the bottom line is they're going through that. They're at the age in their 30s. They're working through how do you spend time. Now, she has no problem. She spends 24/7 with these kids. He's got a job. Now, I think he does a pretty good job of when he's not at work coming in and spending time with the kids. Kids love him. So I don't think he's got it bad, but I think he's got it right. His dad and his family got it right. He's got it right, come from the right stock. And I think a lot of people don't. I know my dad didn't. I was lucky that I didn't have a kid when I worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. I would have been a terrible father. It was because I was retired that I was able to spend the time with my daughter. So I'm going to read this next line to you. It says, my son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do, he said. That's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. Said, I'm going to be like him. You know, I'm going to be like him. So there he is. Now you're in your teens. And when I was in my teens, I was accomplishing stuff left and right. I was winning contests of every kind, doing exemplary things. Good in school, class president. You know, captain of the football teams kind of stuff, you know. My dad never spent any time, never even knew, never paid attention, had no time for it. And that is, it's just a shame, right? When my daughter was in her teens, I took her dancing. We went to dance classes. We took dance lessons together. We spent time together. We went out everywhere together. She hung with me everywhere we went to football games, baseball, you name it, we spent time together. She developed the interest in, you know, working out. It was just one of those things where we were able to spend a lot of time together and build a bond. In fact, such a strong bond that at 16 years of age, she asked to move away from her mother and move in full time with myself and my wife now, Melissa. And I'm thank God that, I mean, you look back, go, thank God that happened. And we had, you know, the teens to build even more relationship with her. And that relationship can never be taken away, never be parted, never be severed, never, you know, be stolen. That's something that will be there till the day I die. And it's interesting because my dad never got to go see me do anything. And I saw my daughter go to one bodybuilding contest. this weekend, last weekend, she went to Chicago, which we couldn't make because we had other family commitments. But she went and did her first pro contest, took ninth. And this weekend, she's going to be in San Antonio in her second pro contest, and we hope she does well. It doesn't really matter to me how she does. She's a winner in my mind. She looks incredible. She's got a pro card. She's actually getting paid to do what I love to do. It's unbelievable. Her husband's a pro. He went to Mr. Olympia, which is, you know, the top, you know, bodybuilding contest in the country. And I think he was sad because he took 16th. Hey, just to even get to the contest is unbelievable, right? This is the kind of stuff that these kids are getting to live. And I look at it and go, wow, it's amazing. So when you look at this stuff, when you look at the fact that we get to spend time, we have the time and the resources to do this, it's very special. So let's go back to you. Where are you at now? Are your kids in their teens now? Did you miss their childhood by chance? Are you missing their teens? Are you taking them every day to baseball, to ballet, to soccer, to piano recital? Are you spending your time with your kids? Or are you still out there, you know, chasing the hustle? I see all these seminar guru guys out there every day on YouTube talking about the hustle. Got to get out there and get the hustle. You got to 10 times, 10x your life is what Grant Cardone always says. And he looks miserable. I've never seen a more miserable sounding guy. Well, I have seen, but he tries to fey like he's really, really happy. But he's under the grind. He's 60s and he's still grinding. Hard, working every day, doing videos all day long, traveling all the time. I mean, I know he probably loves it. He's addicted to it, probably. But the bottom line is that what are you doing? Do you get to spend time with your kids? Are you on the hustle? Are you on the grind? Or do you spend a little time with your kids? Do you take them places? Take them to these sports. Help them grow up. Help them mature. Give them, you know, the type of direction in life they need. Goes on and says, well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit a while? He shook his head and said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? So there you go. How many of you have kids who have already grown up? They've gone past that moldable age, that pliable age, that age that would absorb inspiration like a sponge. How many of you have missed that? But as we've gone through this whole radio show, I want you to go back and listen to it again, maybe two or three times, and think about this. That last segment of the song from Cats in the Cradle says, I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids got the flu, but sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And I hung up the phone. It occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. So there you go. It's hard to say that without crying. Generation after generation, one poor parenting leads to another set of poor parenting, to another and another, and vice versa. Someone's got to break the cycle. I broke the cycle in my family. My uncle was the stimulus to that. I don't know what his kids did. In fact, now that he's passed, I'd like to get some time to speak to my cousins to find out what they had garnered from him, what they had learned from him. It's an interesting thing because they didn't have the balance that I had. I had the balance of my dad being an accountant and very mathematical and very secure, and they had only the aggressive, fun father. So it'd be interesting to talk to them, find out, you know, if they didn't have my side to balance the two out, maybe they lived their lives in super aggressiveness, and that also creates problems and challenges also. I don't know. I don't know their story. But what I do know is that my uncle and I, over the last 10 years, have created quite a bond. He had the time he was retired. I had the time I was retired to speak to each other. And he would call me up, and I'd call him up. Whenever I needed some need to talk to somebody, I'd call him up. Or maybe I just called him because I was thinking of him. And, you know, being old, you think about these guys. You think, how you doing? He's gone through a lot of different physical things. All old people do. But he'd just call me up. He'd say, hey, Del, how you doing? And basically it was a I love you call. Glad to see you. Hope everything's good. How's your wife? How's your kids? How's your grandkids? You know, that kind of conversation really was just, he just wanted to talk. And I don't know if he wanted to talk for my benefit, if he wanted to talk for his benefit. It really didn't matter because we both benefited from that talk. And about a week ago, he called me up. I was sitting on the phone. I was going somewhere with my wife. We were in the car. And we were about ready to get out and go in somewhere in a dinner we were attending. And he called up and he was like, you know, just wanted to call you and tell you I loved you. Really, really respect you, respect everything you've grown into. Really proud of you. And I'm thinking, man, this is really heartfelt. But I got to get in there to that dinner. We're parked here. We got to get into that dinner. And I said, well, thank you very much. Yeah, I love you too. Great. You know? But there it was. In that split second, he was opening his heart up to me. And I knew I had to take the call, even though I was going in there. I knew that I should listen to him, even though I had to get in there. But even so, as much as I gave him, hey, I love you. Thank you very much. You mean so much to me. We did the reciprocal. When I had to get off the phone, I couldn't help but feeling a little cat's in the cradle, right? I'd grown up just like my dad. I was too busy, right? There it was. I hope I'm coming home soon. Well, he's come home. My uncle has passed. He's up there with my father. And I don't know, they're probably both going at it right now. Probably looking down laughing, saying, ah, see what you did to him? Yeah, look what you did to him. I could see them both fighting over who inspired me, who directed me, who gave me the direction of my life. And they both did. But I have to thank my uncle for what he did. When I got off that call, my wife looked at me and she said, you know, something wrong about that call. Really is. Sounds like he knows something. He didn't say anything, but it sounds like he knows something. That was one of those, this will probably be the last call I ever make to you calls. A couple of days later, he was dead. He died in his sleep. How does he know that? How does he know he's going to die in his sleep? How does he know and feel that? I haven't got that point in my life yet where you know that, but he knew it somehow. At least I think he did. My wife thought he did. And so I'm saying to you guys, that was the last chance. I want you to get off this show today, this podcast today, whatever it is, and I want you to go call your parents on both sides of your marriage. Call your kids, all of them. Call your grandkids. Just say, hey, how you doing? Tell me what's going on in your life. That's important. It's important for you as much as it's important for them. And you need to establish those relationships and build on them. I remember after my dad died, I got to meet my uncle. I really never knew my family because my parents broke up, divorced, and then my dad sort of broke up with his family. He didn't really fit in his family. They're all Democrats. He was Republican. Very different in their political beliefs, so they didn't get along very well. But you know, the bottom line is, they loved each other. And if you don't get out there and make those connections now, you may never have a chance. And my friends, it is not the money. It is that opportunity to have that chance, to have a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.